I want to remind you of our theme verse for 2023. It's been a few weeks since I've quoted that verse to you, and I have to be honest with you, I had to go back and brush up a little bit on that verse myself. It had been a few weeks since I had quoted it to myself, and if you've done any kind of memorizing at all, you will know that if you don't review what you have memorized, you will easily lose it. And so I had to brush up on Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and being now built up in him and established in your faith, overflowing, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude." That's our memory verse. And God calls all of us to be rooted into his Son, Jesus Christ. And it takes effort on our part. We're not going to grow deep into him and become established in our faith without having some diligence and without having some concentrated effort on our part. And that's true physically too. If we want to grow strong physically and be healthy in our body, we have to do some certain things for that to happen. We have to eat right. We have to drink lots of water, my wife tells me. I don't do that very good. We need to exercise our body, and we need to get good rest. And all of these things contribute to the growth of our physical well-being. And if any of these points are left out, then it's going to impair our physical growth. If I stop eating right, for instance, if I just start eating Snickers candy bars all day long, and that does sound pretty good, and throw in some ice cream and Oreo cookies and potato chips and wash it all down with Coke, if that's what I eat day in and day out, it's not going to be very long before my physical well-being begins to deteriorate. And my point to you is simply this: we need to be proactive, not only in our bodies, if we want to take good care of our bodies, we need to be proactive in taking care of our spiritual bodies, if in fact we want to grow strong and be deeply rooted into Jesus. We have to feed ourselves with the Word of God on a regular basis. Preferably every day. I mean, I like to eat. I make sure that I eat every day. Physically. Why wouldn't I do that spiritually too? If I try to exist physically on one meal a week, that's not going to work very good. And if we try to exist spiritually on one meal a week, Sunday morning, that's not going to work very good either. And so I need to feast on the Word of God regularly. I need to go into the prayer closet regularly and develop a relationship with Him. I need to connect with other Christian people. I need a church family to be connected to be sharpened in my faith, to be rooted deeply into Jesus. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger experience. Every Lone Ranger needs a Tonto to help him out. And as I wrote that into my notes for this sermon, I'm thinking that is a really old illustration. That says how old I am. But it's true. You know what I'm talking about. Every Lone Ranger needs a Tonto. But let me update the illustration in this way, and I think it will be easily understood. As good a football player as Patrick Mahomes is, how good would he be if he were just a one-man team? Not very good. Patrick Mahomes needs an offensive line to protect him. Patrick Mahomes needs some running backs and wide receivers to help him out. He needs a defense on the other side of the line to play good. But if he's trying to do it all on his own, if he is a one-man team, he is not going to get very far in the NFL. Likewise, we need each other if we want to grow spiritually. We need the fellowship of the church body. We need to support each other. We need the prayers of one another. We need the encouragement from one another. And not only that we would be giving encouragement, but we need to be receiving encouragement too. It's a back and forth thing. It is a family. It is a body. And the members are working together to build up the body. If all we're doing is just taking in some more, but never exercising our faith and serving and witnessing and giving and loving, then we're going to become a spiritual couch potato, and that is not a good thing. I mean, we do not want to look like this guy spiritually. My challenge to you is to grow your roots deep into Jesus Christ and to be proactive in getting that done. The last several weeks, we have been talking about being rooted into Jesus in our marriage and in our parenting. And as I began that emphasis several weeks back now, I had a single person come to me and say, "You know, I have heard lots and lots of sermons on marriage through the years, but I have never heard a sermon on being single." And I got to thinking about that. And particularly, I got to thinking about my own preaching, and I had to admit that he was pretty right on in what he was saying. I don't know that in over 40 years of preaching, 42 years to be exact, of preaching, that I have ever preached a sermon that's totally dedicated to the Christian single. Until today. Now, that doesn't mean that you can just check out of this sermon if you're not single, any more than what I would hope that the single person doesn't check out of the sermon that's on the subject of marriage. I think there are things that we can learn from every sermon if we will stay focused and hear what's being said. If the sermon doesn't apply directly to you, surely there are principles that we can learn from, and certainly that would be true of what's being said today. Did you know that according to the national trends, 23% of churchgoers are single? Think about that. That's almost one in four people who go to church across the country. It wouldn't necessarily mean that it's right here, but 23% of people who go to church across the country are single people. And one source that I looked at said 40% of our communities are single. So it is very appropriate that I preach a sermon directed specifically for those who are single. Point number one is simply this: being single is a gift from God. And I looked at several resources, and every one of those resources were making this point. Being single is a spiritual gift from God. Now, obviously, not everybody has this gift. but some do. And it is a very special gift. The Apostle Paul had this gift. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Some people do have the gift of being single, and Paul in this passage acknowledged that it is a good gift. And I want you to think about this. Jesus himself was single. And so the person who is single is in pretty good company with Jesus and the Apostle Paul, wouldn't you say? I can't think of any two people who have ever had such an impact on this world as those two single people, Jesus and the Apostle Paul. And that leads me to a second point. Being single has its advantages, according to Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, again, verse 28, Paul says, "But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you." I read that verse, and I'm asking myself the question, what troubles was Paul referencing there, do you think? In-law troubles. Amen. Don't you think? And my son-in-law is here today, and I didn't even have to prompt an amen from him. I was going to ask him to amen that, and he did it all by himself. I have to tell you that I have had the greatest in-laws imaginable. Not my son-in-law, though. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law. My father-in-law has been with Jesus for the last 5 years, and we miss him. My mother-in-law is still living. She just turned 92 years old, and I think back to those 35 years that Cindy and I were married, during the time in which her parents, both of them, were still alive. And we've reached our 40th anniversary. 5 years ago, my father-in-law passed away. And all through those years that the two of them together, and now my mother-in-law continues to carry this on, they have been so supportive of us through the years. And by that, I simply mean encouraging to us. They have loved us and have always had open arms to us. When we've been with them and maybe we would ask their opinion over something, they would gladly give their opinion, but they would never push their opinion or press their opinion upon us. They gave us the space that we needed. They didn't meddle in our business, if you know what I mean. I have one specific memory, one main memory of my father-in-law that I will tell you, and that memory pretty much depicts how he was towards me all the years that I have been in the family. And the memory is this, and I can get emotional even as I tell about it because it means that much to me. On his farm is about a 7-acre pond. And it's really a nice fishing pond. And we would go to visit over the years. Our family would go to visit them. And unless it was winter time, we, particularly my son and I, Jonathan, we went with the hope of going fishing in that pond. And we would talk to him on Friday night. We might go down there for a Friday night and Saturday, and we'd say, he might even ask us, "You want to go fishing tomorrow?" Yeah, we brought our fishing poles. And so we would get up the next morning, the three of us, and we would go up to that pond, and we would jump into the fishing boat together, all three of us. And Jonathan and I are fishing as my father-in-law is doing this. And he is taking us around that pond, all around the perimeter of that pond. And for as long as we wanted to fish, he's working those oars. And we're enjoying the fishing. And I would say, won't you let me have the oars? You take your turn fishing. I'll work the oars. Oh, no. No, I want to do this for you, he would say. You fish. And we might be out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and all the while. And this guy, you know, was in his 80s at this time. And he's working the oars. He was always in my corner and for me. Now, I will tell you, if I got off track, if I would happen to get off onto the wrong pathway, he would have been the first to tell me about it, because he was a very confrontive person. But the side that I was blessed to see for all of my years of being married to his daughter was that supportive side. And I am thankful for that. And I will have to say, Cindy didn't always have it so easy with my folks. My folks were really good people, and they are really good Christian people, but they didn't mind telling us their opinion. And of course, their opinion was right about how to do mealtime with the kids. You know what I mean? And how to discipline. And holiday time was never quite enough in their favor. Now, I'm being a little hard on them, bless their hearts. They're in heaven with Jesus. And I miss them. But I know they were harder on Cindy than Cindy's folks were on me. And Paul says, if you're single, you don't have to mess with all that kind of stress. That's what he was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we all know the more people involved, the more complications you have to deal with, the more worries that you have. Now, please don't misunderstand me. And my wife particularly needs to not misunderstand me. Marriage is good. And I love it, and it's wonderful, and it is for me, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it's not without its challenges. Amen. Getting a lot of amens from this part of the auditorium this morning. I mean, if she would just agree with me, you know, on everything, it would be better. But therein lies the problem. Paul says, I'm just trying to spare you of these kinds of complications. That's what he's getting at. But here is the big advantage to being single, Paul says. You have more time to serve the Lord. You can be totally dedicated to serving Him if you are single. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, and she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. You see, Paul was all about serving Jesus. He was all about the kingdom. And if you have a wife and a family, or if you have a husband and a family, then you have a divided interest and a divided time. It's just that way. That's not to say it's bad. It's just that way. And so let me ask you, you that are single, are you that consumed with Jesus and his kingdom? That's the advantage that you have of being single, that you can devote so much of your time and your attention to those things that last forever. The problem is sometimes we don't take advantage of the opportunities given to us. And that can be true not only for single people, but for married people as well. And usually that's because we're more consumed with our kingdom than his kingdom. Another way of saying that is we are not as consumed as we ought to be with the things that last forever. That's true for all of us. And we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to judge ourselves by the Holy Spirit. Are we as consumed with the things of God as we ought to be? Or are we more consumed with the things of the world? Some people choose to be single, and maybe these are the ones who have the gift, the spiritual gift of being single. Others who are single maybe don't want to be single for the rest of their life. Probably these are the ones who do not have the gift of being single. Whichever best describes you, could I give you some bullet points that maybe will challenge you? And yet, as I'm talking specifically to people this morning who are single, you that are not single, give a listening ear, because every one of these points, I think, will be applicable to you. And the first bullet point would simply be this: cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Now, what did Shannon talk with us about this morning as he had opening remarks here, that we would have this thankful spirit, whether it's raining or whether it's 110 degrees outside, that we would find things to be thankful for. And that's what I'm challenging you with today. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Your witness for Jesus is going to be a whole lot stronger if you're a grateful person. And other people are going to be attracted to you if you are a grateful person. And the opposite of this is true too. If you're not a thankful person, if you're a grumpy person, who's going to want to be around you? If you are a grumpy person, who's going to want to be around you? If you are a bitter person. And so as you think about your singleness, be thankful. Be thankful. Look for opportunities in which you can give thanks to God. And it's going to bless your witness. It's going to bless your community around you. You'll have that community around you if you are a thankful person rather than a grumpy, bitter person. And how about this? Learn to be content. That's the next bullet point, just to challenge you. As you are a single person, learn to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Philippians 4, verse 11. If by chance you're single and unhappy about that, your fulfillment, hear what I say, your fulfillment will not be found in another person. That's so important for you to hear that. If you're single and you don't want to be single for the rest of your life, don't think that your fulfillment is going to come through another person, even if it is the right person. And I say that simply because fulfillment is found in Jesus alone. Only He can fill our cup to overflowing. Only He can give life and true contentment. And so, learn to be content in whatever circumstances that you are in. And that is true for the single person and for the married person too. And this leads me to say, seek Jesus more than you seek a partner. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is capable of bringing you the right person at the right time, if in fact that is His will for you. And here's another bullet point. Be patient and wait on the Lord. You will be a whole lot happier if you'll wait on His choice for you rather than rush ahead of Him and come up with your own choice. And you that have the gift of singleness, understand that you are married to Him. He is your bridegroom, and there is no better bridegroom than Him. And I will close with this. Live your life to His glory. The verse from Colossians 3 that we've asked you to memorize, and so many of our young families have come up here and they've quoted this verse to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Would you read this with me together? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. If you're young and single and never been married, live to His glory. If you're divorced and single, live to His glory. If you're widowed and single or a widower, live to His glory. If you're married, what? Live to His glory. All of us are to be living to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, would You help us all to be consumed with You. We need to seek You first. And whether we're single or whether we're married, Lord, that we would trust you with all of our heart and that you would use us to your glory. There's some bullet points here that we've talked about that we need so desperately in our life to be content, to be thankful, whatever our circumstances are. Would you help us in these matters, God? And to know that fulfillment is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you that you have adopted us into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.